Good evening, Rabbi Mayevsky. This week is Parshas Tzav and is Parshas Parah. It's usually Parshas Tzav would be Parshas HaGadol, but in fact, as we see this week, and it's very appropriate in reality why Parshas Tzav and Parshas Parah should be one. And last week, it seems the story of the Egel never comes to its conclusion, because even next week, Aaron has to pay the price for the Egel as well, and then we get to Parshas Kukas, it's again, and for the Paraduma is to expiate the sin of the Egel as well, and the connection is very interesting. We have the Parsha from last week and this week and somewhat next week, we have all the Karbonas. Of course, the one Karbon that would seem that is left out of these Karbonas is the Paraduma, when in reality it had to have been made already at this point in time, which we'll get to. But in the meantime, Parshas Tzav begins. Now Aaron has been somewhat repatriated because now Moshe is commanded to actually dress Aaron. And just to show, as we mentioned, Moshe's humility last week with the small Aleph, that even he and Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gadol of all time, would be called upon by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Aaron's dresser, literally to put on his clothes to like an ordinary common dresser to put on the big day kahuna for him, except for his pants, obviously. But nevertheless, all the other begadim that a Kohen Gadol wears, Moshe Rabbeinu had to put it on him like an ordinary citizen. But of course, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't think in those terms. But now we get to the Karbonis itself. And there's a very interesting Medrash Tanchuma. We know the whole idea previously. It says that the Medrash Tanchuma makes a very interesting thought process. And now that we're talking about all the Karbonis, it says that the Goyim, once they found out that God gave them the ability to bring to a Karbonis to expiate all their sins, that if they commit a sin, they would be able to cleanse themselves of their guilt by bringing a carbon, and they said to, I guess, the Malachim or whatever it is, their sar from the countries, that had they known that there was such an option of being able to bring a carbon to get rid of your sins, then we would have signed on for the Torah. And as we know, it's a very strange request because the thought process is, we know when we begin the Parshas Zos HaBracha, when it says, excuse me, Hofia Mehar Paron, and when they Vizorach Miseir Lomo, Hofia Mehar Paron, that God went around to all the other nations, very famous Medrash, that God went to all the other nations of the world and asked them if they would accept the Torah, and they asked what's in the Torah, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, it says lo signov and lo sirtzach and lo all these other laws, they said, sorry, we can't live under those restrictions. And so then they were asked, so what is their complaint about the Karbonis? And the retort was, why are you bothering about the Karbonis now? They said, well, then we could have done all the sins that we wanted and then just expiated, have our sins washed clean by bringing a carbon. And that obviously is not God's intention. The only time one could bring a carbon, generally speaking, is lo se bishgaga, when we violate a prohibition by accident, not really knowing, and even when we do it, not so much on purpose, but we come to the realization that we've done something wrong and we admit our guilt, and then we are eligible to bring a karbon chatos. But we can't say ech tov yoshuv, I will continually sin and then I will bring a karbon, as we see in Yeshaya when it says, God says to Klal Yisrael, when things were going downhill for Bnei Yisrael in the middle of the first Beis Hamikdash, when he told Yeshaya, Lama leave Rose Chaychem, why do I don't need your karbonis if all you're going to do is just do it, give me lip service, so to speak, by bringing karbonis, That's not what I want you to do. You can keep your car, but I'm not interested. And that's what the Omosa Olam were complaining. They thought that perhaps they could get away with it like this. But that is, in fact, what brings us to this parsha. So we have this parsha, we have our own HaKohen, wasn't mentioned last week. As I mentioned last week, it was only his sons that were mentioned and not Aaron himself. But now he's brought back into the fold. He's been repatriated. But very interesting thing enough is that obviously what happened to all the Taras that were done before we get to Parshas Chukas? Why do we have to wait for Parshas Chukas to be told of the Paraduma? It seems that they didn't have a Paraduma until Parshas Chukas. That would be impossible to think because they've had situations now that they would have had to be Matar previously to that, and they would have needed the Paraduma before that. And that's why we're told at this time, even though it doesn't mention the Paraduma, that Moshe himself actually prepared the first Paraduma all alone. Previously, when all the Karbonis and the Mishkan were presented, Moshe himself made the first Paraduma. So then why, the question is, why did we wait all the way to Parshas Chukas to bring up the whole concept of Paraduma to Moshe to talk to Klal Yisrael about it now? And interestingly enough, we see the Lashon is Zos Soras in this Parsha. There's a common theme in terms of Zos Chukas HaTorah. And by the Paraduma, Zos Chukas HaTorah Ha'olah. And by the Paraduma, it says again, Zos Chukas HaTorah V'ichu Elecha Paraduma. And the idea is that you must, it's not just the laws of the chukah of the Paraduma or the chukah of the Ola or the chukah of any other karbonis, which is obviously, there's a big machlokas why we bring karbonis from the Rambam and the Ramban. But the point is that the problem with bringing it up right now is that since Moshe made it previously beforehand, we said, why suddenly now that we bring it up? Because the reality is now is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that Moshe is of realizes that since they're about to go to war and all the other things that we see at the end of Parshas, excuse me, the end of Parshas Bala, when we see 24,700 people died and all the people of the Mesei Amidbar after Shlach were dying, that the ashes from the first Paraduma that Moshe made would not suffice without another Paraduma. The Paraduma that he prepared, they would use up, they would end up using up all the ashes from this Paraduma, and he would not be able, he would not be there to make the second one at this point in time, that they would have to have another one made. So he was had to tell them all about it now. The question, though, is when we see when Moshe does not even, for the same reason that Moshe wasn't going to be there, we see something else that's very interesting. Who is appointed to take charge of the Paraduma? And there's two reasons why it's given over. The job is given to Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, not to Aaron himself, because while Aaron was there, there would be Aaron would be the Kohen Gadol, and it would be up to him to perform all the necessary things for the Paraduma. But getting back to the Egel, as I said, we would at this point in time, before the Paraduma was brought, Aaron was ineligible for to handle the making of the Paraduma because he himself was still had the guilt of the Egel on his back. He still had this guilt, and therefore he wasn't able. It was only Elazar HaKohen who could prepare it. He was in a state of Tahara, and Aaron being involved in the Egel was not eligible for the preparation of to perform the service of the Paraduma. Only after Aaron would have to be the first one at this point in time to be sprinkled with the ashes of the Paraduma so that he could be Metaher and bring the other Karbonis that he would have to do. Of course, there's a time frame over here, But he realized that now, since they're going into the wars and all the people that I said were going to become tamei, they would use up all the ashes. And this is the interesting thought about Aaron over here being repatriated, that even though he was Aaron HaKohen, he still had to do it. And that's why this is, well, why the qu next question would be asked, why, in fact, that the Parah Aduma, the whole service that had to be performed in preparing the Parah Aduma, had to be mechutz l'machaneh el makom tahor. They had to take it outside the Beis HaMikdash, because everyone that would go, that would need the ashes of the Parah Aduma, would be in a, obviously would be in a state of tumah, whether it's tumas meis or bi'etzem adom or bekover, all these things that would create a sense of not to being tahar, to be tameh. And therefore, at this juncture, it had to be done outside the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Mishkan. And now, when after they're sprinkled upon the ashes, then they could come into the Mishkan, then they would be able to enter the Beis HaMikdash, which would be eventually done. So, of course, that's why the Chukas HaTorah goes all the way. But in fact, in time frame is what I said, there was more than one reason why Aaron was uninvolved at this point, because the same as I said, Moshe would not be around for the making of the second Parah Aduma. We see halfway through the less than halfway through the Parsha of Chukas, Aaron dies, but it's not that he dies right after this. This is so many years later. The Parsha changes its speed right from year number two. It moves on to year number 40 so quickly. But Moshe understood that the person that had to be aware and how to deal with the Parah Aduma would be Elazar HaKohen, because Aaron wouldn't, same as he would not be around, Aaron HaKohen would also not be around at that point in time to perform the service. And immediately he had to hear it from him, because unfortunately, as we see in the because of the Egel, Aaron not following instructions as God would have wanted. And we see again in next week, Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, there's a disconnect between Aaron and his sons. And Nadav and Avihu are not, it's not stressed. Moshe left it up to Aaron to discuss all the rules to his children, and he neglected to do so. And once again, after next week's parsha, he will be on some level on the outs once again, until later on when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells, until that point when he's repatriated once again, Moshe is spoken to by God directly. Aaron is for a while not mentioned, in terms of he's only spoken to, whereas previously God would say Vayomer Hashem or Daber El Hashem El Daber Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe V'El Aaron Lamar. It once again, Aaron is left out of the equation until after Parshas Chukas, or in that time period after Korach, actually, when it says Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe V'El Aaron once again, because Moshe and Aaron are held to highest standards. And that is the problem why the Medrash gets into, as I said, the Medrash Tanchuma makes a point of saying that the only time we could bring a carbon is if we truly accept responsibility for everything that we do. We see the Umos HaOlam, how they continue to act in their most disgraceful manner, and the way the world gangs up on us, nobody cares about us. We are responsible for ourselves, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised to take care of us. But anything that we have the opportunity now to do the tshuva necessary. So when we say tzav es aron v'yesponov lemar, in the Chukas HaTorah, it doesn't say tzav es aron v'yesponov lemar, zos Chukas HaTorah, because as I said, Moshe already made the Parah Aduma, and that's why it says Kain asu b'nei Yisrael, or they did Vayas kasher tzivah Hashem es Moshe, because Moshe was the one who prepared it. Moshe was the guiding force for these 40 years in the Midbar, along with Aaron and along with Miriam. May we be zochah to see as many great leaders as we had in the Midbar, we wandered in the desert. We never would have survived without the three greatest leaders that we ever had in Yiddishkeit. And hopefully, in our time, we could see as we approach the Zman Gula, we had it in Purim, and now we facing the Yom Tov of Pesach, where we're looking at the Gula once again. We pray that this week, when we and in a few weeks, when we read, when we get to Shabbos HaGadol, and we start to go over the mitzvahs of Pesach, that we could be zocha to Lashon HaBa Birushalayim, as we say at the end of the Seder. Have a good Shabbos.